The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
God is looking for heroes, and I called it Stand, because at times it saddens me to see my Christian fellow brothers and sisters out there in the world not standing for Christ, laxing. And God wants heroes. We're all heroes inside. We sang it this morning, the enemy has been defeated. But most of us live defeated lives as followers of Christ. You're not defeated. The battle's been won. He killed it on the cross. His precious blood flowed so we can stand. Amen? How many of you have been a hero this week? Rhetorical question. God gave me a great opportunity to be a hero this week, and I need to share it before I get into the word. I'm at work this week. Busy week. Through the office, inside, the outside, the warehouse. You know my testimony there where I work. And I'm going down the hallway from the back of my office to the front. And as I'm headed back, on the hallway, there's a wad of $20 bills. A wad. And I'm walking, I picked it up. And at first I wanted to count it. But the Holy Spirit's there. And I'm remembering this topic, heroes. Heroes stand for what is true and for what is right. And integrity is so important in our lives. So I'm walking. I said, wait a minute. This belongs to someone. And it wasn't me saying that in my mind. It was the Holy Spirit telling me, Frank, that belongs to someone. So I turned. There's a lot of doorways on our highway. Turn back. It's a maze. I take it back and I give it to the front desk lady that works there. I go, someone dropped this. She looked at me. You know the look she had? Why didn't you keep it? That's the look she had. I'm like, this belongs to someone. I don't know who dropped it. So they're investigating all day. All through my morning, I'm hearing, Frank, that's going to be yours. What are you going to do with it? Should have kept it. And the enemy's right there just telling me, the devil, keep it. You should have kept it, you dummy. That was yours. All day, after lunch, no one's claimed it. And for a one split second, I'll be honest with you, for one split second, Frank, the flesh, thought, well, maybe I will gain $200-$300. Thank you, Lord. But no, my spirit, the Holy Spirit can say, no, it's not yours. Somebody dropped it. Long story short, before the day's out, guess who it belonged to? It belonged to a gentleman that I work with that has financial problems. That someone had just brought it to him that morning to lend him money to make some financial issues straightened out for his week. You see how God works? Integrity, folks, stand for what is truth. Stand for what is right. Do the right thing. And if we put up the chronological timeline Jeremiah built up, I want to pick a person that most of you probably would randomly not even think about this person. I wonder who. You know, the first second they drew that on the screen when they opened up the series, I'm standing back there and God just dropped it like this, that fast. Men are the leaders, men are heroes, but women, woo-hoo, you guys are heroes too. He wants to use you too as well. God only sees the heart. He doesn't have favorites. He wants women to be used. So guess which book I'm speaking out of? Hey, the Holy Spirit's moving. The book of Esther. That's right. That's a random book. Hardly no one's read. A lot of us have read it probably, but not all of us know the true story. Esther was a true hero. The Jews were going to be completely genocide, wiped out. And God used this woman. He used the woman to be a hero. And God wants to use you right now where you're at in your life to be a hero as well. No matter what you're facing. God uses all kinds of sizes in people. He doesn't care about color or size. He cares about the heart. Are you willing to stand and be that hero? Amen? Let's read. I will be reading out of Esther chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Esther chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. Reads like this. I'm reading out of New King James. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight, and the king held it out to Esther, the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter, and the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom." Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move and it would speak to us, God. I pray for all of us in this room that you would just minister to us and you would speak a word of enlightenment, a word of encouragement to be brave and to stand and to be heroes. And God, I can't help but remember right now as my sister's here this morning and ask for prayer for her son, the soldier in the army serving, as he goes back to training. We pray for Cito, Lord. I pray that you would protect this soldier, protect her son, and others in this room that might have loved ones in the battlefield or serving to protect, for us to have our freedom here. Bless them and keep them and protect them. Bless our service this morning. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Speak to us through your word in Jesus' name. And God's people says, amen. All right, Esther, the book of Esther, stand. Esther is one of the only books in the Bible named for a woman other than Ruth. Esther is one of the most courageous women in the Bible. And the book of Esther, as I opened up, a lot of people in the past, even from the beginning of these scriptures, back in Jesus' days, the Torah, has been treated as cats treat water, as Superman treats kryptonite. There's been many speakers that have just not touched on this book. This book never mentions God. No one prays and no miracles happen. It's an intriguing book. Zero commentaries were published in the first 5 centuries of the Christian church. Fewer preachers touched it back then. Probably ego for men. But women, you are important too in the kingdom of God. You are very important. Especially if you're a wife. You're to help your husband. Be a support to him. Amen? The book of Esther is never mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. Most books tie into others from the Old Testament, New Testament. This one doesn't. For some reason, it's as if God were on vacation. Where was God in all this? You know what I liked as I read this book? I'm gonna compact 10 chapters right now for you. It's that easy to read the Bible. It's 10 chapters, the book of Esther. You know how long it takes to read? 20 minutes tops. 20 minutes. You have 20 minutes to read your Bible for the Lord? You want to grow? You want to stand and be that hero and make a difference in your home and your life? Read the Word. You need to read it, folks. I never read. I love reading the Bible. This is the most book I read the most. This book. Throughout my day. Throughout my evenings. I counsel with this book. I do Bible studies with this book. God's word is what makes effect. God's word is what makes heroes. God's word is what's going to teach us to stand in this society and culture we live in nowadays. We're being too laxed. We're standing down. We're putting the gun down. Being that weak soldier. And we can compromise, justify, make excuses. There is no space for that. God's word is for those little kids sitting back there that can hear me. For those of you that are sitting here, teenagers, it's for everybody. It applies to, you're a hero. God made you all heroes. The enemy's been defeated. Stand up. In the time of war, soldiers were only given armor for the front part of the body. And I've said this before, you know why? Because if they ran, they were going to get killed. We have God's armor, move forward. Stop, you're going to go through some trials, pray, move forward. Keep standing. The Bible, all it says that the enemy, we wrestle against the enemy. Wrestling, they just pin you. You go back to your shoot. Most of us get wrestled down and call it quits. Oh, I'm done. This God ain't helping me. My life's never going to change. My marriage will always be in shambles. My kids will never listen to me. The church will never grow. Christians will never get it. Because they're standing down. You need to stand, folks. We need to stand for Jesus. So why read this book if God's not even in it? I'll tell you the first important reason, and again, I'll go to the Bible. It's that easy. I'll tell you why, because God will tell you. Look what it says in 2 Timothy 3:16. We're to read this book because it's God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. To stand. That's what it means. To be honest. To be fervent. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. There it is. That's why we should read the book of Esther. Just because it seems God is not in this story, He is. A lot of times in our lives, we feel that way. God's not in here. God's not in this. He doesn't have to show Himself to you, but He'll show you what He can do. But then again, we want it now like a microwave. 30 seconds. I want my burrito. Hurry up. I'm hungry. I do that at work a lot. Come on, hurry up. Ding! I'm eating. God didn't call you to that. He's going to stretch us a little bit. Why? To grow our faith. To learn to stand. You raise up a child and give them everything, they're going to be spoiled rotten, let me tell you. This is not an easy sermon. Because a lot of this, I've lived it and I live it. Because He shows me what He can do. I've seen marriages restored. Drug addicts restored like myself. Relationships fixed. I just see it and I cry. And I see these people sometimes and I tear up. Because I see God's power manifesting in their lives. And all it takes for me to do is keep standing and moving forward. Stand and move forward. And I stop briefly at moments because we're going to face some issues, problems, trials. But don't stand down. Stay standing. God says this is not in my PowerPoint. God says this, stand still and know what? That I am God. Stand still. And know that I am God. I'm right there. And in this book, it seems like He's not in it, but He's all up in it. And we're going to get into that right now. And the four main characters of this is Esther, of course, a young Jewish orphan girl who grew up to be a very beautiful girl. King Xerxes, that's his name. I'm going to call him King X. Make it easier for me. Is the king at the time. You know who they get this from? Remember the movie 300? You guys seen, some of you probably haven't seen it. It's a gory movie about these Romans fighting against this Persian king. That's where this came from. That's that king. He's also in that Assassin's Creed 2. Another very violent game. I don't watch these. I don't play these. Don't get me wrong. But they're out there. And some Christians do play these games. I'm not knocking you. I'll pray God convicts you. But this is where this king is. He's a powerful king. Okay? And then there's Haman, the evil villain. This is the King X's secondhand guy. He's the Hitler of their days. Haman was the Hitler of these days. And of course, Mordecai, the cousin and foster father of Esther. See, Esther's parents died when she was little, and Mordecai raised her. It's her cousin, but he became quickly her stepfather. So how did Esther become queen? How did all this come to be? Well, here we go. 10 chapters, sort of in a nutshell. I'll try to make it quick. It goes like this. It was back set time, 480 BC. Not too long ago. Well, it could be long ago, but not too long ago. Maybe 2,000-3,000 years ago, roughly, this took place. This is the true story. There's a lot of... I'll say it in Spanish, so then you'll get it in English. Novelas. There's soap operas in here. There's love stories. There's war stories. There's family stories. There's people that had drinking problems, adultery, you name it. They're great stories. The Old Testament is packed with them. And if you start reading some of these stories in the Old Testament, they'll grab you like a soap opera. You hold on, I'll go get my plate right now. I can't wait what's going to happen next. If you're in it, reading it, just chew on it. Read it. Follow the story. It's amazing. And then when you close the book, you're like, wow, I didn't know that. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit is dropping new things in you. Because one day it'll apply in your life, or it applies to someone around in your life, in your family. And you can go relate to them. No, I just read this, brother, sister, cousin. This is what's going on. It's in the Bible too. See, none of this is new. Paul says nothing. I mean, the Songs of Solomon, he was the wisest man. Nothing's new under the sun. It's just repetitive. There's been adultery. There's been families torn up back when. And God wants us to learn from his word, to stand and be those heroes that God has called us to be. It's that easy. It's God-breathed word. So how did Esther become queen? Here we go. King X ruled all of Persia. Almost. He had hundreds of armies, generals, leaders. So he decided to have a six-month banquet. I'm paraphrasing from these 10 chapters, from chapter 1 to 10, mind you. In the beginning, this is how it starts. He had a party for 180 days. 6 months. That's a long party, but it takes a lot of money to have. How many of you have parties on weekends, birthday parties, whatever, quinceañeras, weddings? It costs a lot of money. Nothing's cheap anymore. Well, guess what? Bless you. This guy was like Donald Trump 10 times. So here he throws his long party for all his army, for the city. And guess what? The last 6 days, the last week, he decides, you know what? The whole city can drink all the wine they want. Do not neglect anything they want. Give them all the wine they want. So they're partying it up. This king wanted to show off his power, his glory, trying to gain people's confidence. It didn't stop there. And he said, by the way, go into my humongous kitchen of collection of cups. This king had gold cups. And they were all different in shape, everyone that got one. That's how much money he had. And everyone's drinking away, having a good old time. And at the last 6 days, they're pretty buzzing already. I'm sure the king and his soldier leaders. You know what he does? He says, you know what? I got so much power. Go bring my queen, Vishta. Her name's Vishta. Go bring her, put her crown I made for her. And some scholars believe that he wanted her to come out naked or with almost nothing on to show her to his buddies. And she refused. She goes, oh, he's drunk. I'm not going to show. So she refused. So he made an example of her. Because if you let some things just go, they're going to keep doing it and keep doing it. And this is how they worked back then. So he said, no, let's make an example of her. Demote her. She's not my queen anymore. As a matter of fact, kick her out. Kick her out of the city. And you know what? The next year for this, from here forward in another year, go get all the virgins, the beautiful girls, bring them, perfume them, doctor them up for a year. Go do the manicures, the paints, the perms, whatever you ladies do. For a whole year, they just doctored up these women so he can pick a queen. And guess who he picked? That's right, Esther. Back then, there was 50 million people, population. Half of them were probably those girls. And what were the odds of picking Esther? What are the odds of picking you to be that hero in your family, in your situation? They're God's odds. And you are that hero. And he wants you to stand whatever you're facing right now. He wants you to keep at it. And he chooses Esther. How amazing is that? So he preps these girls, picks Esther, kicks Vishta out. So he's all happy now. And then they're getting groomed. And at the time of their grooming, Mordecai, her foster dad, her cousin, was concerned for her because they took her and he raised her. So he always hung out right outside the court's palace in the courtyard cleaning, pulling weeds, whatever they did. And he wanted to keep an eye on her. And then Haman comes to the king and he's made second in command. Oh, man. There's people that get a raise or get up, moved up in the ladder. How do they act? Now you got to listen to me. I'm your boss. We can be like that. Now you got to do what I tell you to do. And that's what happened to this Haman. Haman hated the Jews. He had a hateful passion for the Jews. This is the man that could have caused genocide to the Jews. There'd be no Jews now if he had gone through what he would almost got through doing. But somehow, mysteriously, without God being in the scene, it didn't happen because God was in the scene. But why did Haman hate the Jews so much? Look what it says. Let's back up in history. 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, 32 through 33. Look what it says. Then Samuel said, bring me Agag, king of the Amalekites. Agag came to him in chains, and he thought, surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so will your mother be childless among the women. And Samuel put Agag to death before the Lord Gilgal. Saul was told by God before this happened a few books back in history to destroy all the Amalekites. The Amalekites were very mean people in the Bible, in the Old Testament. They would kill and wipe out whoever they wanted. No one told them what to do. And this king was an Agagite. Haman was a great-great-great-grandson of this king. So he never forgot. So Haman is seeking vengeance. How many of you hold on to vengeance and say, you know what, I'm going to get you. You haven't got you yet, but I'm going to get you. This is a generational curse that this great-grandson had from his great-great-grand-ancestor, that a Jew killed his relative, and I'm going to kill all the Jews. So this little boy was nothing but instilled with hate, revenge, and anger for Jews. How many of you can live that way sometimes? That revenge, that hate. It's evil, guys, and that root, if you let it continue, it gets deeper into your heart. And you'll never, but you'll have a harder time forgiving and forgetting and moving forward in that situation. And this is the Haman. And Haman was an Agagite through this whole book. Every time you see Haman, it says Haman the Agagite. Haman the Agagite. I think it says it 4 or 5 times in these 10 chapters. So he had a passion to genocide all the Jews. He wanted them wiped out. So Esther sends a message because he hears the cry of the Jews out there in the city lamentating, tearing their clothes and throwing the ashes on their head. So she writes a letter out to see Mordecai and ask him what's going on. She gets one of her servants because she's ranking now there in the king's palace. So she writes a letter. Look what it says. Esther 4:8. Is that up there? Esther 4:8. Esther 4:8. He also gave him a copy of the text. Oh, by the way, there was texting back then. There it is. See? There was texting back then. I had to throw that in there. I just saw it. So they should text back then. How cool. Of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, which is where the reign of Persia was, where the king was, to show to Esther and explain to her. And he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence to beg her for mercy and plead with him for her people. See, Esther had heard a little ruckus. She sent him a letter. He read it, wrote it back, gave it to the person, took it back to Esther. So now Mordecai, her foster dad, said, come on, you got to help us. Just because you're in the kingdom now and we're out here, God's not going to forget. God's not going to forget. He knows you're a Jew and you're lying. You're not going to tell him. You got to tell him they're going to wipe us out because you're a Jew too. You see, folks, sometimes we try to hold things in. They're going to float up. Not maybe in a month, not maybe in a year, maybe years later. Things will come back up. You'll be found out. This is what her cousin's telling her foster dad. Come on, Esther, step up. Help us out. Just because you're in glory now doesn't mean you can't get wiped out. You'll be found out, and God will raise someone else. That's what it says in this whole story. That's how he really told her, paraphrasing. So we got to be heroes that stand for truth and not hide things. You'll be found out, guys. I'll tell you, and I'll say it again. I was the biggest liar. My wife was here to tell you, man. I put her through some rough things because I lied all the time. Then I was trying to cover lie after lie. And you're always looking over your shoulder. Always thinking ahead because you got to think of your story, how to fix that line, the next lie after that line, lie after that and that lie. That was hard to say. And it's not good. You'll be found out. True heroes of God will stand for what's truth. Kind of like the money that I found. It's a little rag, going to movies, we'll have dinner, Applebee's, I don't know. And about halfway through my walk, the Holy Spirit said, no, you're giving it back. Okay, I'm giving it back. Okay. Be obedient to that voice. That's the voice of truth that's casting crown seams. That's your Holy Spirit talking to you. Stand for what is truth. Do the right thing. And Haman just wanted these people out. So Esther sends a message back to Mordecai, and we read that. So when they get there, she invites the king and Haman to a dinner. So they go to the dinner. And there she is, making them, serving them. And she didn't tell the king for what reason she invited them. She didn't know what to do. The Bible doesn't even say why she did that dinner. And it goes on to say, can we have a second dinner? The king's like, okay, you're my queen, and we'll do this again tomorrow. The Bible doesn't say. See, guys, at times as well, God's word, it's not going to tell you everything. Because he wants you to reach for faith and stand for what it says. For face value, end to end. Don't pull context here and context there. A lot of churches do that. Oh, we only stand on this. Well, how about before and after? Oh, we don't preach that. You got to stay in context. Face value, end to end. Genesis to Revelation. It's right here. So she invites him to a second dinner. She's like, okay, can you guys come back tomorrow? I'm going to cook probably some spaghetti tomorrow. So come by. She had no clue why she did it, but we're going to find out what God was doing behind the scene where we thought God wasn't there at all in this book. And okay, let's move on in the story. So she risked her life. As I opened up in today's scripture, you cannot come and show up to the king and say, you know what, king, I got something to tell you. Before you can go, you know what? You were wiped. Your head was cut. They dragged you out. You cannot enter into the presence of a king without getting killed. You had to have permission. You just had to have, you need to be hooked up, basically. Who's this person? Oh, no, then get him out of here. You need to have some pull. You need to know the king. See, do you know the king this morning? What kind of pull do you have with our Lord Jesus Christ, the king? You kind of come sometimes and just demand from him and then go back and live the way you want to and stand on what you think is right? Or do you come to your king in reverence before you enter and pray and thank him and seek him and ask if you can talk with him? Jesus already paid for that. True. You can come to him freely now. But stand and do it honestly. And go back and do what you've prayed or seeking for. Don't just give teeth service to Jesus. Give him heart service. There's a lot of Christians just giving teeth service. What I mean by that, because it's just coming from here, not from here. We want to so quickly turn to do what we like to do when we leave this place. I like what my nephew Zeus said in his prayer. God, don't let us leave the same. Let us leave change. Most churches will tell you, please leave different. Grasp something. Grasp something. Let the Lord speak in your life and stand for what is truth. So there's Esther inviting him to a second dinner. So Haman goes home to tell his wife, guess what, honey? I'm second in command now. We got the pay raise. We can get that house by the dock with boats. Everything. We got it going on. He was showing off in his whole neighborhood. But then his face changed. His wife says, what's wrong? Well, as I left the palace, this ugly Jew I want to wipe out, Mordecai, does not bow to me. Everyone bows when I walk, and he won't bow to me. And he didn't. Mordecai would stand up. I'm not going to bow to you. I got my King Jesus. You're just a man. You believe in the wrong God. That's what Jesus is calling us to stand for, the true God. Stand out. Be that light. Be that salt in your life. Stand for Jesus. Don't be ashamed. I've told you over and over. Guys come to my office and ask for prayer. My boss will walk by. He'll let me pray. He called me in to talk one day. And you know what he told me? Pray for my son. He broke his little arm. Our new boss. That's God's favor. I said, sure. Boss, I'll pray for your son. Do you want to pray now? I stood up. Most guys, okay, we'll pray for you. Don't be afraid. He's just a man or a woman, your boss. If they ask you for prayer, do it. And I did it right there. I go, can we pray now? I took off my hat. He goes, sure. Took off his hand and we prayed. I did what was right before God. You can do that. If God opens a door for you, do it right there and then. Don't wait. Most people say, pray for me. Okay, I'll pray for you and walk away. I try to pray for people there at the spot most of the time. I do it probably 70% of the time. Even if it's over the phone, even if it's a text. Do it right there. Stand. Because sometimes we need that prayer right there. At that moment, some of us are hurting, man. All of us in this room are facing some type of situation or issue. And we need that prayer time. You need to have prayer. I like what we're doing now here at Remnant. Before we start, some of us men, the leaders, come and pray. The women go outside and pray. Then the announcements start, we pray. Then the worship song, we pray. That's what we need to be doing. Jesus said, pray without ceasing. See, we want to be talking other trash and garbage and standing for the wrong things when we should be glorifying and exalting Jesus Christ and what he does in people's lives. You need to stand, folks. You need to stand. And here's Esther going to the second dinner. Mordecai going home boasting, but he wants Mordecai dead. Look at Esther 5, 11 through 14. Is that up there? I didn't put it in my notes. I hope it's in the PowerPoint. It's Esther 5, 11 through 14. Not in there. Praise the Lord. Well, anyways, Mordecai, that's what he's saying. I'm second in command, but I need to wipe out these Jews, including this Mordecai. I hate him with a passion. So this same king, after it's said and done, the first dinner, the king goes home. Haman goes home, and Esther goes back to her room. This all happened in the same night, okay? Mind you, keep that in mind. The king goes home that night. He can't sleep. He's tossing and turning all night, just having an issue within him. Haman goes home, and he's telling this story about how he's made second in command, but he wants to wipe out other Jews, okay? Is Esther 6, 1 through 3 there? Look what it says. That night, what I just said, the king could not sleep, so he ordered the book of the Chronicles Let me stop right there. Listen to this again. And we've said it here, and people do it. That night, the king could not sleep, so open the Bible and read. Do you get it? If you can't sleep, read the Bible, you'll go to sleep. That's another good one I like that came out. When I read this, I'm like, I get sarcastic. And I laugh with myself. And God, I'm sure, laughs with me. If you can't sleep, read the Bible. So he couldn't sleep. The record of his reign. See, this was done back then. I'm just going to paraphrase what you're seeing on the screen. When kings couldn't sleep, they'd get up in the middle of the night and get their scribe to read what's been going on, like the events. Read me the flyer from last week, last month. Bring it all of us. Let's see what we got. And Mordecai, when he overheard those guards in the garden, when he was there, they were getting Esther ready to be the queen, he overheard two guards that wanted to kill the king. And this king can't sleep. And the same night, Haman's over there planning how to kill the Jews. The same night. It's the first night. So the king gets up. He goes, and what was done for this Mordecai that saved my life? Oh, by the way, nothing. What do you mean nothing? The first guy that walks into my courtyard this morning, that's the guy I want you to send to escort him around and show my gratitude because this man saved my life. This Mordecai saved my life. We found these two guards and took them out. So guess who walks in that next morning after he was boasting to his family and he wanted the Jews dead? Walks in the car, I'm going to tell the king, I'm going to get a letter, I'm going to wipe these Jews out, including Mordecai. He's going to die first. He steps in the courtyard and gets Mordecai. King wants to see you. Oh, man, now he's really going to. He goes, sees the king. He asks my king, anything you want. He goes, you know what? Since you were the first one that showed up this morning, there's this Mordecai, this Jew. Well, he didn't know there were Jews yet. I take that back. He goes, this Mordecai, go escort him. He saved my life. Get my robe, get him a ring, get him my crown, get him my best horse, and you're going to escort him all day. Oh, you see, guys, this is what I get out of this short part of the story. Don't try to exalt yourself that you're better or think higher than yourself when you're being raised up in your position in life. Be humble because God will humble you quick. See, God is not in here, but he is, isn't he? He humbled this man really quick because he went home that night and boasted about how high ranked he was ranking and that he was going to wipe out God's people. You cannot come against God's people. He is right there. He will defend you. He will hear you when you think he's not there. But you need to stand and believe it. You need to stand and believe it. There's that hero in you. You see? So there he is. Oh, gosh, he's hating it. This is Mordecai. He saved the king. Praise him. And he escorted him all day with the horse. He was burning inside. He was furious. All day he escorted him. The day's over. This is the second day, okay? Remember, there's a second dinner this night. He goes home straight to his family, furious. The wife's like, now what? Guess what? I had to escort this Mordecai, the first guy I want to annihilate, the first guy I want dead. And that's the first guy I had to escort. And his wife even encouraged him to do some pretty mean things. Some pretty mean things. And I didn't put it up there, but the wife goes, you know what? Why don't you just make a gallows pole and hang him? This is his wife's advice. You're going to tell me these Amalekites weren't mean people? This is not a very nice lady. Kill him, hang him. He goes, shoo, I like your idea. We're going to take him out. Give me, and his whole family's encouraging him through this whole story how to take Mordecai and all these Jews out. And that same evening, they're talking about it. Guess who walks in? One of the king's servants. Hey, you forgot about the second dinner. Let's go. But he didn't have time. So there he goes to the dinner, and he's sitting there. He has no clue what's coming. And they're there at the dinner, and there's Esther again cooking for the serving them their spaghetti. You want French bread? Sure, I'll have some French bread. So he's feeding them. I like spaghetti. That's why I always bring spaghetti. French bread. Anyways, so there they are. And the king goes, okay, Esther, please, come on. I'm going to give you whatever you want. The kingdom, half of my money, whatever you want, a second dinner. And she goes, well, Mr. King X, your royal highness, there's a man that wants to wipe out me and my people. By the way, I'm a Jew. And there's a letter, it's been out, and they're going to die next week. They're going to be wiped out. The king stands up and tells me, do tell me, I'll take care of this man. Your second guy in command, the evil Haman, right there, that guy. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? The Bible says in the story, the king gets up furious. He runs out to his balcony like they do it in drama movies. Oh, how could Heather do this? I see it in movies. I'm sorry. So he's out there at the balcony. The Bible says he runs out. So I can see the drama. Oh, how hither could this happen to my wife? I had to throw that in there. I liked it. Seen it somewhere in the movie. Probably Cinderella. I can't remember. And Mordecai goes, please, Esther. He goes to her feet. Don't tell him. Please do something. And when he's begging for his life with Queen Esther, he walks in. And he sees that. And he thinks she's getting attacked already. And before a word can say, grab him, they were already on him, dragged him out, and guess where they hung him that same night? On his own gallows that he had put for Mordecai. You're going to tell me God wasn't in that? You're going to tell me God doesn't love his people? You're going to tell me God won't stand for us when we need him? But this took place only because of Esther's courage. She was brave. She forgot about herself. Many people today, and I struggle with this sometimes, I'll be transparent. I want to think about myself first. You need to think about your brother, your sister first. Jesus said it. First think of serving. You come last. And God will give you in your time. And on top of that, when you're thinking of the other person first, God's filling you with blessings of you have no clue for him. You know which one I like that we never know that's happening sometimes? That he's probably curing us of diseases we might have. He heals us without even feeling it. But because you stand for God, he will sustain you. In the Psalms, in the Songs of Solomon, he says he'll multiply your years. You'll live longer years than you should have. Guys, I should be dead because I did so many drugs. I consumed all these liquids and pills and I don't know what else. I should be dead or sick in a hospital dying of something. But he has sustained me because he has taught me to stand. I had many battles with my wife because of my girls wanting to do worldly things. I stood my ground. Yeah, I slept on the couch sometimes. Yeah, I didn't have dinner sometimes. Yeah, they were all against me, three against one for weeks. But I did not stand down. Third week come around. Okay, honey, my wife will tell me, I read it. You're right, girl. Sorry. You got to do what he says. I said, no, it's not what I say. It's what it says in here. And that's when God starts moving in your life, in your home, in your environment, in your situation. But if you're not standing for what is true, you're going to have turmoil. You're going to have situations you think you can't climb out of. But Jesus' hook was a U-shape. The pastors, when they pastored sheep, their staff had a hook. So they can reach down into branches and pull the sheep up off the cliff. Sometimes we're on cliffs and he'll pull you out. Sometimes he's putting the shaft right there and you don't even want to grab it. Grab the hook. No, I'm good right here, hanging on the cliff. I got this. I got this. Your feet are hanging like this. I got this, Jesus. I don't need you. No, I don't believe in you, God. And we're hanging right there. And Jesus is reaching, wanting to help you. Do you stand for Jesus? Or are you standing on your own wisdom lately? So this king wipes out Haman. And it didn't stop there. Closing towards the end of the chapter of this book. Killed all his sons, killed all his family. King wiped them all out. You see, in my life, when I became a Christian, I still had my homies, my friends that would give me drugs and the alcohol, the girls they'd introduce me when I was married, and start moving them out of my way. And he went further. I lived in Brawley, he moved it. Frank has some big, there's one more room to El Centro. He did that. And remember how he moved me out? They kicked me out of my house. The renter and my wife are buds. And she shows up one day, you got to get out of my house right now. We moved out that same week and my wife's crying. My daughters are like, what's going on, Dad? Let's just move everything. I was praising Jesus. We already had a house the next day in El Centro. Because I kept standing and standing. And sometimes I would take a knee and say, gosh, Lord, it's getting pretty tough. Stand up. Okay, Lord, I'll keep going. It's pretty. You can take a knee once in a while. You know what this knee means? Call someone. Call your bud. Call the men. Call the women. Call each other. I'm struggling right now. Pray for me. Then you get up and keep going. Take a knee. Call a friend. I don't know where that one came from. So at the end, everyone lives happily ever after. Guess who's second in command now? Mordecai. That's right. King gave him all power for everything. See, if you notice, most high positions that I've learned in my probably 5 years of acknowledging or paying attention to what God does in this Imperial Valley with Christian men and women, I'm shooting in the dark here. 60% of Christians are in good high positions. From the president, branch and board members, they have prayer meetings in the White House. There's Christian people there. There's soldiers at war praying that are Christians. There's Christian women in schools. There's Christian women doing outreaches. men living for God in high positions. I know where I'm at because God placed me there. I started in a warehouse. And in weeks, he moved me into an office with everything in it. And I'm like, wow, Lord, there's no way I'm going to deny you. I'm going to be telling the church every time something happens here. And I have been. I don't know what this is, but that's how I do it in my office. There's this Muppet Christian that I forget his name, and the Muppet's going like this. He goes, what's that attitude? And God does that. He'll lift Christians. He'll teenagers. I don't know what you want to do in your future, but God already has it. Just follow it. Follow this, young ones. Back there, teenagers. God has great things for you, young people. Don't look, it could look foggy, but you keep going, keep standing. Marriages, adults, stand in there. My wife never gave up on me. I left her once. You know the story. And God drew me back. I knocked on my own door with my own house key hanging on my side. God. And the biggest, best part for me is now that I do all this counseling, I meet with some of you, I see God's hand. And I cry and I say, God, thank you. Thank you that, man, it looked hopeless. And sometimes I go, oh my God, they'll never be restored. And all I could hear was, wait. Just keep doing it. Wait. I want to use you. Keep standing, Frank. Are you willing to go through that this morning? Stand. Stand. My 3 points. I got 3 minutes to do it in. A hero is courageous and takes risks. A hero is courageous. You need to have courage to take risks. Esther risked her life again. We talked about it by entering into King's palace before him without asking permission. But because God had already favored her, you're sure, come on in. What do you need? You have favor in your life with God's power in your life. See, faith takes risks. You need to be that hero that takes risks. And I chose a verse that probably won't apply here, but it's Romans 10:9. I know I'm skipping through a lot of slides. Romans 10:9. It says this, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, I put this one on the first one because many people I talk to that they want to talk to me about Jesus and had never been saved, they don't want to take that risk. They're comfortable. They're scared. They don't know. Well, how else are you going to know if you don't jump in the pool? How are you going to learn if you don't come check it out? How do you don't know if you give God a chance? Take the risk. There's many people going to hell without Jesus because they're comfortable and they don't want to take that risk. A lot of my family members aren't taking the risk, and I pray for them every day. Some are here, some are coming slowly, but I'm going to keep standing and praying for them. Many people don't want to take that risk and saying, Jesus, come into my heart. I'm a sinner. I need salvation. Because they're comfortable. They think they're okay. They're that person on the cliff. And the staff's right here in your face. You said, just grab it. Take risks. Faith. You got to have faith that takes risks. I'm going to go fast now. The second point is courage. Heroes have courage to follow God's plan. To follow God's plan. That's what it says. And in verse 4, Esther didn't know why she was doing the second dinner, but she did it anyways because God was in it. Even though it looked like he wasn't there, he instilled in her, have a second dinner because I need this king to go see at night who saved him. And I need this king to see who the real evil person is. And I need Mordecai lifted up. So he waited 2 nights. That's God's hand working right there in this story. She honored God. She followed God's plan right there. And sometimes we don't want to follow God's plan. It looks like nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to work. It is. You need just to stand there and take it. Look what it says in 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why am I putting these probably out of text scriptures? Because Queen Esther was in royalty. She could have just said, I don't care about the Jews. Let them die. I'm good right here. God will leave me alone. I'm okay. No, she took a stand because her stepdad said, you need to speak up, Esther. Do something. Are you doing something? Are you speaking up? Or are you just going to stay quiet and sit there? Are you going to come to Remnant and just warm up the seat or start serving or doing something in your life as a Christian? Honor God. Follow his plan. See, many people are too tied into the world. We're into things, material. Nothing wrong with having things, but who are you honoring, the things first or God? I had a discussion with someone that asked me, well, how can you put God first before your wife or your children? Because that's how he made it. because he will take care of the situation and make it work for you. My wife didn't understand, or my girls didn't understand, and one of them's here. She'll tell you, talk to her after church. Stephanie's right there. She knew how I stood on God's word. And now she's seen it. She's sister and cries to me and says, gosh, Dad, you were so right. No, again, I wasn't right. It's right here. We have to stand what God's word says. We read it at the very beginning. It's God breathed. He spoke it through people. He used Samuel the prophet to slaughter this Agite that was going to kill Jews in the future. You see? God can do anything. Third point. A hero needs to have courage to honor God. Honor God. Esther honored God by telling Haman the truth in front of the king. Sometimes we're in the middle of a group of people. We don't want to say the truth or what's really going on. And you're going to have issues, situations. You're going to carry it and be bitter sometimes. Then when you get into another argument, that bitterness floats out as well. And it makes the argument worse. It makes the relationship worse. And it ties you to separate even further. Amen? You still love me because I love you all. You got to honor God's plan. And I'll close here. I didn't understand why my wife had to die such an ugly death of that cancer that ate her up. But she's in glory. And her testimony is going to live as long as this mouth can talk. And other women she impacted, they're still talking about her. See, your testimony never dies when you die. It keeps living through other people in your lives. Our testimony stops when Jesus comes back because it's going to be all wiped out. It's going to be made new. Your testimony will live on, folks. Only if you believe in Jesus. Only if you follow God. You see? We need to do what is right in spite of the possible negativity or consequences we will face. It's going to be tough sometimes, folks. Look what it says in 1 Peter 2:12. Honoring God. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on that day of visitation. See, you're to live for God now. And people, it says right here, are going to talk about you. I'm sure some of these guys I work with talk smack about me behind my back because they tell me. But at other days, they come in and ask for prayer. And I don't say, get out of here, I hate you, or you've been talking about me. No, come on in, brother, I'll pray for you. I pray for them. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Pray for them. Honor God. Do what's right. Have courage. Don't be like the lion from Wizard of Oz. Big old, a lion. That's the most courageous animal on the planet. Let me give you a quick nugget before we get done here. The Bible says that Satan, the devil, is like a roaring lion. He's out there to devour us. Look what it says. He's like a roaring lion. There's only one lion, the king of Judah, the lion of Judah. Who's that? Jesus Christ. He is the lion of Judah. Satan is like a lion. He's trying to deceive us and tells you'll never amount. You shut up. Don't stand up for Christ. Keep your mouth shut. Just live how you live. You're okay. It's not true. He's deceiving you. He's just tearing you up. He's gumming you to death. He probably doesn't have any teeth. Get a lion. Put him in the middle of Africa eating his meal, a zebra, whatever he's caught. But take his roar away. 10 hyenas will take that lion on and the lion will run. That's proven in science. You know why? What are the hyenas afraid of? The roar. Roar! They run. The hyenas show up. There's no lion roaring. They're going to scoot them out. See, there's things roaring in your life. Don't stand. Do your own thing. That's that lion. The lion one. You serve and stand on God. The lion of Judah, Jesus Christ. Amen? Be stand and be courageous. Don't stand down. Be that Christian God's called you to be. Amen? Let's stand and pray. The worship team, come on up. I'll stop there.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You